I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm Romantically Challenged. So there's a meme I love. I don't know if you've seen it. It says, forget about dick pics. Just send me a receipt from your last therapy appointment. I mean, there are so many things we would rather see than an unsolicited dick pic. Am I right, ladies? So why do men still do it? Well, my guest in this episode reckons he knows why. Phil was a self-confessed serial dater, and he reached out to me after hearing my last podcast about the differences between men and women on the dating scene. Phil wanted to share his thoughts about what he reckons women do wrong when they're dating, why he thinks women make it harder than it needs to be on the dating scene, and why marriages should come with expiry dates. Now, I don't agree with everything Phil says, but it's always fascinating to hear a man's perspective about love, dating, and relationships. Here's Phil.
Hi, my name's Phil Brandel. I'm 48 years old. I'm currently in a relationship, but not married and have never been married, and I have no kids. Currently, I'm working as a freelance writer, broadcaster, and media commentator. I enjoy writing, reading, live music, the theatre, and stand-up comedy. Dating for me is fun. I think dating gets a bad rap, but I really enjoy it. My ideal partner is the woman I'm dating at the moment. Intelligent, fun, open-minded, and a great communicator. My life motto is it's easier to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission.
Phil, thanks for joining me. Now, you reached out after hearing my last episode with the dating mentor, and I know you've got a lot to share based on your experience on the dating scene.
Pleasure. My pleasure being here. Hopefully I can help you a little bit.
Now, I'm not sure about this life motto of yours. I need a little further explanation. You'd rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission?
Yeah, it seems to serve me well because, you know, you may think, oh, look, should I do something or not? You can procrastinate, and procrastination is the thief of time. So why not just go and do it and apologize afterwards? Because, you know, asking for permission, you know, you can get a no, but it's never a no if you apologize.
So this is a dating and relationship podcast. Is that your theory with relationships? You can do what you want and then beg for forgiveness after?
Oh, look, to an extent, yes. I would never be unloyal or cheat on my partner because we've obviously agreed not to, you know, cheat on each other and to be monogamous to each other.
I know you said you're in a relationship now. How long has that been?
It'll be 5 years in September.
But pre that, I know you used to write a lot about dating. You, in fact, used to call yourself a serial dater. Was that by choice or circumstance?
That's what I called myself in a polite way. I think a female friend of mine once called me a dirty man whore. I've been dating until I settled down in this relationship for about 30 years. I was one of the very first people on RSVP. Now, in that 30 years, I did have relationships. I wasn't just single for 30 years and then decided, bang, overnight, I was going to have a long-term relationship. But when I was single, another friend of mine said, I do single better than anyone else she knows because I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy dating and meeting people, and I often thought that, you know, going on a bad date was better than sitting at home alone.
But I guess dirty man whore, you know, it has connotations of you're using and abusing your single life to treat women as disposable objects. That's the sort of vision I get when I hear dirty man whore.
No, so not at all.
And move on to the next one. So
no. I did a lot of dating, I will admit, and I've probably been on thousands of dates. But in saying that, if I told someone I was going to be loyal to them or monogamous to them, then I was. I've never cheated on anybody. But if I went on a date and I thought, oh, I don't really think this is going to go anywhere, then I would be on another date days later. I did that constantly. And, you know, sometimes I would have three or four dates lined up in a week.
What motivated you to do that? Was the motivation because you were looking for a wife to settle down with? Was the motivation that you just wanted to have sex? Was the motivation just so that you weren't sitting at home alone?
All of the above. Absolutely all of the above. I guess you could say I'm very much a people person. You know when people say to you, oh, what did you do over the weekend? They go, oh, I had a great weekend. I stayed at home and did nothing. That is my worst weekend. That is a nightmare for me. I love socializing. I love being out. I love meeting people. I love making friends. And I like meeting new people. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but I like finding out about people's backgrounds. I think everybody's got a story, and this is probably the journalist coming out of me. Everyone's done something interesting, and you can learn something from everyone. And just because you go on a date and it doesn't work out doesn't mean it hasn't been a good date. You could become friends. That person could introduce you to other people who may lead to other dates. I've never been against long-term relationships or marriages, but I've never felt the pressure to get married. It was like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, I'm also happy being single and having lots of friends, male and female friends. So I'd rather be single than be in a bad relationship, if that makes sense. A lot of people think that you've got to be in a relationship to be happy, or you've got to be married to be happy. I know lots of people who are married and they are miserable. Some of the most unhappy people I know are married, and some of the happiest people I know are single.
Exactly. You should read my book, Phil. I wrote a whole book about exactly what you just said. So you were a serial dater or a dating man whore, whatever you want to call it. But I know you've also said in some of the articles you wrote back then, you treated dating like a game. What does that mean?
You know, I don't mean that I play games, and I don't mean that it was a number scoring system either. It was more about, this is going to be fun. I'm going to go out. It's a bit like, you know, looking forward to going to play a game of sport, or looking forward to the trivia night, a local thing. Look, it's going to be fun. Don't have any expectations. Go out with a playful mood. And it was always like that. It was like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
I know, but when you say you treat dating like a game, for a lot of people, when they play a game, the goal is to score.
No, I didn't look at it like that. It was more, is this going to be in column one? I'm going to be talking about it because it's an absolute disaster. Column two, is it going to introduce me to other people or friends of friends? Or column three, I might, you know, get a pash at the end of the night and want to see the person again next week.
So can you recall your worst ever date?
Oh, there's so many of them. But the one comes to mind is where someone died.
Pardon?
Someone died.
Your date?
No. So are you aware? I don't know what the name of it is. There's a tactic the girls use. Tell me if you've ever done this. Say, Sammy, you've gone on a date. You're not 100% sure about the guy. So you've said to a girlfriend, call me at 7:30.
Yes.
If I don't pick up, the date's fine. I'm going all right. If I do pick up, I'm going to go grandma, accident, hospital. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be there in 30 minutes.
It's called the emergency call. Yes.
Right. So you've done it. So I was out on a date with a girl and her dad rang. And she goes, oh, my dad never rings. He hates the phone anyway. So I let her take the call, went to the bar, grabbed a couple of drinks, and I come back and she goes, oh, I've got to go. There's been an accident. I'm like, oh, here we go. And I just put it down to that emergency call and she'd want to see me again. And so the next morning when I wake up and I had the alarm clock radio, so I'd listen to the news, and the lead story was a local man had been killed overseas by a tsunami and it was her uncle.
Oh, no. So the emergency call was a real emergency call. Oh,
I thought it was. I thought it was the emergency call, but it was a real emergency call. And her uncle had just been killed overseas. So, and her dad was ringing her to say, my brother's just died.
Well, I'm sorry that happened. And I'm so sorry for that poor lady going through that in the middle of a date. That's awful. I don't know if this is an appropriate segue at this point, but I know you're happily coupled up now, but you did online dating, you said, for 15 years. You've been on every dating app, every site. So I want to talk about some of your online dating do's and don'ts. I love this. You said you should never write in your profile, no time wasters or dickheads. Why is that?
Because time wasters don't know they're time wasters and dickheads don't know they're dickheads.
So you're basically wasting your own time by writing no time wasters.
Well, yeah, you are. It's like writing no players. You think a guy's going to go, oh, hang on, shit, I'm a player. I can't click on this.
I agree. You also say, don't write, I like having fun.
That's right. Who doesn't like having fun? Have you ever seen a profile that said, I like bad books, bad food, and not having fun? I would write, what do you do to have fun? What is it that you like? Like if you like going to see bands or theatre, write that. I love seeing live bands. Maybe even write a couple of your favourite live bands in there, because you're more than likely to go, a guy might go, oh, they're my favourite band as well. Like we can chat about that. Or, you know, if you like going out and playing touch footy, write that.
Like attracts like.
Exactly. And be specific. Say my favourite food is Mexican or Indian, or I really like the movies by Quentin Tarantino. be really, really specific, because that's going to, one, that's going to get rid of the time wasters, because if you're a vegetarian and you write anything yum and then a guy picks you up on the date and takes you to a steakhouse, you could have just saved yourself a whole lot of pain there by putting in love vegetarian restaurants.
Welcome to my world. You say you have the answer to the question, why do men send dick pics? Doesn't every man by now realise no woman wants an unsolicited dick pic?
No, ever? We're very simple creatures. We're not very clever. I'm going to tell you a story, and I think this encapsulates why men send dick pics. And I'm going to get a little bit vulgar here, and you might want to edit this later on or beep or whatever. But I was at a very well-known Sydney bar with a bunch of friends, girls and guys, and one of the girls went to the bar, came back with the drinks, had a disgusted look on her face and said, "You won't believe it just happened to me." We're like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And a guy walked up to her, didn't know her, didn't say hello, didn't introduce himself, and said something along the lines of, "I'd like to go down on you for hours." That was his opening line. And she was disgusted. Yeah, she was disgusted by that. And I said, "Tell me, who was it? Where's this dickhead? I'm going to go talk to him." And so I went up and spoke to him and said, "Mate, what you said was out of line." And he goes, "No, bullshit, mate. It's hot." And I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You can't just walk up to a girl and say, you know, I want to go down on you for hours." And he goes, "Nah, imagine if a girl walked up to you and said, I want to go down on you for hours. Wouldn't that be hot?" And that's where the example ends, because guys think what they like is what girls like. Most guys would love to receive an unsolicited vagina shot. And they think, "Oh, well, you know, if I'd like to see your vagina, you must want to see my penis." So I'm just going to send because it's hot, because this is what I want to see.
Is it really that simple?
Yes, we're very simple.
It really just comes down to the fact that a guy just thinks he's only sending the dick pic because he really believes a woman wants to see it. Is it as simple as that?
Yes, we have two heads, Sammy, but only enough blood to run one at a time.
So what is your tip then for women if they do receive those dreaded unsolicited dick pics?
Okay, I've got two. Both of them are quite drastic, okay? The one that originally I told my friends to do was go to Google, find the biggest penis they can find image and send it back to him. And then he's going to say something like, "Oh, I don't want to see that." And he's like, "Well, exactly, dickhead, I don't want to see that either."
That's good.
I did hear another one, but I read this one online. A man sent a woman an unsolicited dick pic and she wrote straight back, "Why are you sending me a photo of a child's penis? I'm going to report you to the police for pedophilia."
I mean, look, either way, it's just hopefully men listening realize it's just stop doing it. No one likes it. It's actually also quite offensive. You know, if you're going about your day and you just look down on your phone and there it is, some stranger's penis staring back at you, it's quite offensive.
I agree, and I would like to apologise on behalf of the male race to all females who have ever received an unsolicited dick pic, and I do apologise for the dickheads that have sent you that.
Do you know of any man who's received an unsolicited vagina pic ever?
Never, 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 ever. Never, ever. Not unsolicited. I know people have sent them, you know, to their boyfriends or partners, but unsolicited from a stranger, no, it's never happened. I don't doubt it ever would.
Two things in life can be really tricky to find: the perfect partner and the perfect pillow. Well, I can help you out with at least one of those things, because I have found the perfect pillow at last. The At Last pillow from Etienne Home has these amazing adjustable memory foam inserts. So you can choose to either use them together or separately for three different levels of support. Yeah, it's basically three pillows in one. With its innovative design, the Atlas pillow puts the comfort and support back into your hands. So it's one pillow your way. When I tried the Atlas pillow for the first time, it was absolutely love at first sleep. And you can check it out or find out more at etiennehome.com.au. It's Etienne Home, etiennehome.com.au. In my last podcast, my guest said women could learn some things from men about dating. And one of the things was to give more of the maybes a go. So men do give more women a go. They will swipe on more women and just throw it out there and see what happens. Whereas a woman will say, no, I will only swipe if he's over 6 feet. I will only swipe if he's got blonde hair. I will only swipe if he doesn't play golf. I've actually got a girlfriend who was so burned by her ex-husband and the amount of golf he used to play that she says, if he even mentions golf in his profile, I don't want to date him. And I said, you're potentially missing out on some lovely guys there. Where do you stand on that? Do you think women should give more of the maybes a go?
Yeah, I think everyone shouldn't just be women. I think it should be men as well. I've seen men who, you know, go, oh, no, she lives in the wrong postcode, or, you know, her eyes are too close together. I said, are you kidding me? You're not exactly oil painting yourself, and you're not going on a date to get married. You're not going on a date to settle down straight away. You're not going there to have kids. You're going to meet someone and have fun and make it as fun as possible. And I'll give you an example of how I met an ex-girlfriend of mine, and I was actually going to give this as a bit of a challenge to you, Sammy. Mm. She set herself a New Year's resolution, and this is going back a few years ago, to get a boyfriend. So she set herself a goal of going on a date every Thursday night. And it doesn't matter if she was attracted to the guy or not. It doesn't matter if she liked his profile or if he was her type. It was just, I have to go on a date with a stranger every Thursday night. And she made some fantastic friends out of that. She met me through that process as well, and then we dated for a couple of years. You know, I probably wouldn't have been her type on paper, but when we went on the date, we just clicked. It was actually one of the best dates I've ever been on. And I think everybody should embrace that, because what have you got to lose if you go out every Thursday night?
My response to that is, coming back to it, depends on your motivation. There are some people who are very, very focused and motivated to meet someone because they feel like they need to have a relationship, or they feel like they need to meet someone to get married. That is not my motivation for dating. If I met someone and I found them interesting, attractive, sure, I'll go on a date with them. But I'm not going to force myself to go on a date so many times a week.
But what about if you didn't look at it that way? What about if you looked at it that it was more a social experiment and you were just going to see where these things led? And it's only an hour or two on a Thursday night, for example, and that guy that you're not attracted to, that you don't like, has got a fantastic brother, best friend who could be your soulmate.
If that is your motivation, then go for it. That is certainly one way that you could achieve that goal. For me, it's not my goal, so I would never do that.
Yeah, okay.
Also, Phil, don't forget, at the moment in this day and age, there are so many people that are divorced, and they're not all dating to get married again. They're just dating to have some company.
Oh, I agree. And I fell into a lot of those categories when I was during my serial dating stage.
So one of the other things that my last guest said, one of the things women can learn from men when it comes to dating, men care more about how you make them feel than how many boxes you tick. They don't put up with as much shit as women do. So women will start dating a guy and he'll treat her like shit. He won't call her for days. He'll disappear. He'll cancel plans at the last minute. And she'll hang in there because she'll say, oh, but he's really handsome, or he's really funny, or he's got a good job. And they'll put up with being treated like shit because he ticks some other boxes, whereas men don't. Men don't care as much about the boxes that you tick. They care about how they feel when they're around you.
I agree 100%. Women get sometimes a little bit caught up in the finer details of dating. I'm just trying to think of a couple of examples, like cellulite. Guys don't care if you've got cellulite. We really don't. I've never heard a guy say to me, I'm not dating her because she's got too much cellulite. But girls bitch and moan about it all the time, how much cellulite they've got. We don't even notice it. It's typical. I don't know if you've had this situation, Sammy, where you go, hey, you didn't notice I got my hair cut.
Yeah.
We don't notice that. No, we're not paying attention to how long or short your hair is. We're not going out for your hair. We're going out for the way you make us feel. We don't notice that stuff. We just want to have a decent conversation. We don't want to be judged. We want you to be open with us. We want you to be honest. And I can say this honestly, hand on heart, with my girlfriend, I want to feel special. And she makes me feel special. She, you know, when we're talking, I feel like I'm the only guy in the room. And if you can do that for a guy, if you can make him feel special, he's not going to care what your dress is or where you got cellulite or how much you got cut off your hair or anything like that. Initially, you know, if we see a low-cut top with a push-up bra walking down the street, yes, we're going to look. We can't help it. I can't apologize for that. I don't know why we can't help it. And if we can meet a girl who's interesting and who is open and not judgmental and fun. That's always a big one. I don't mean funny. I'm talking fun. Mm-hmm. You'll make us feel like $1 million and we will want to see you again.
Well, this is the other thing that Ellie Klein said in that last podcast. Men are looking for a soft place to fall. Women have this with our girlfriends and our mothers and our sisters and our therapists that we talk to. You know, we have people that we can talk to about all of this stuff and feel safe and secure and, you know, have that emotional outlet. Whereas men generally, and this, you know, obviously, again, we're generalizing on a lot of levels here, but generally men don't get that from external sources. They get it from their partner.
Yeah, that's very true as well. Guys don't have the same relationships that you have with the girls. You can go out, say, three or four of you and, you know, have a couple of wines and sit around and vent. We don't really do that. When I go out with my mates and, you know, have a couple of beers at the table, I'm not sitting there venting about work or my relationship. We're talking shit. We really are most of the time. And this is why a lot of men have mental health issues, because we don't have a place to talk and we don't have a place to really open up and be sensitive. If we feel that we can trust you and we can share our true selves with you, and including our vulnerabilities, and trust you with that and know that it's not going to be thrown back in our faces or used against us, that's very attractive for a man, knowing that we can do that with you. I guess that's what the previous guest meant by a soft place to fall.
One of the other things Ellie said is when it comes to dating, men don't let rejection stop them. And that's something that women could really learn and women could do better, is to not be so overwhelmed by rejection. So as a man, Phil, what's the key to not letting rejection just make you want to stop dating forever?
I think it's caring what other people think. Just don't. Why do you care what other people think? If a guy has rejected you, why aren't you saying he's lost? There's plenty of other guys out there.
It does feel for a lot of women like they take it personally, and it plays into insecurities of, you know, I wasn't hot enough, or I wasn't funny enough in my messages, or I'm too young or too old, or it plays into all of our insecurities.
And where do those insecurities come from? If the guy doesn't know you and you've never met and you've had a couple of chats and he rejects you, all he's rejecting is an idea of you, not the actual you.
You have said in some of your articles that women make it harder for themselves than it needs to be on the dating scene. How so?
I keep telling girls this and they don't believe me, but you're the boss when it comes to dates. You're in charge. You get to steer the direction of the date. You get to pick how fast or slow the relationship's going. So you guys are in the driver's seat the entire time and you guys don't take advantage of that. And you seem to, oh, does he like me? Does he not like me? Should I ring him? Has been too long? Take all of that out of your mind. When you go into a date, you should be thinking, I'm fantastic. I'm awesome. I'm the prize here. I'm what the guy wants, not the other way around. And I think sometimes girls forget that and they overthink it.
That's a generalization, though. Like, that's a huge generalization. And look, I think dating has changed a little bit since you were last on the scene, particularly with dating apps. And there's, you know, I think it can go both ways. So what else do you think women could do better on the dating scene?
I get a lot of phone calls from female friends of mine going, hey, a guy hasn't rung me. I've been on a date. Should I ring him? And I always say no. And I know this is sort of counterintuitive, because I know that, you know, women should be able to take care of their own destiny and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that, and this is especially if you've met on a dating app or a guy's met you at a bar and he's asked for your phone number and he's made all of the first moves. And girls go, oh, I went on this great date with a guy. He's fantastic. He's awesome. He's got a great job. He's funny. He's really into me. Maybe the girl even slept with him. That doesn't really matter here nor there. But they're like, I haven't heard from him. And I say to girls, I say, as men, we can run multi-million-dollar companies, we can invade countries, we can fly jumbo jets. If there's a girl that we like, it's really not that hard to pick up the phone. So if he's not making the effort, why should you make the effort? If he's treating you like an option, why are you treating him like a priority? Once again, going back to you girls are the prize. You guys are in the driver's seat here. Make him work a little bit harder for it.
Isn't that also putting the power in his hands to call shots on where the relationship's going? If she wants to call him and go, hey, I had a nice time, what's going on? Are we going to catch up again? Why shouldn't she?
Well, she can, but why? If he's not doing it, if you're constantly doing it, if you're constantly ringing him and chasing him and always making phone calls going, can we see each other? Can we see each other? Can we see each other? What does that tell you?
there's a theory. If someone wants to, they will. If you're sitting around wondering what he's thinking or whether he's interested, then he probably isn't. Vice versa as well.
That's my point.
I just don't like that the assumption is on the dating scene that the power is all in the hands of the man.
I don't. That's exactly what I said. I still say that women have all of the power. And that you have a look at how many guys swipe right on, you know, they just do that constant swipe, swipe, swipe. What does that tell you? How picky are they being?
Okay, just finally, which is off the dating topic a little bit, but you wrote an article saying marriages should have expiry dates. Marriages should be like a lease on an apartment that you either renew or terminate every so often, rather than a lifelong purchase. Why do you think that would be preferable?
Marriage and weddings are a man-made construct. It was originally invented to strengthen tribes or clans. If you marry my son if we get married, our clan will be stronger. We won't invade each other. Or it was a property transaction. You know, I'll give you 3 camels for your daughter. It was never about love or romance or anything like that. And back then when people were getting married, you know, the average, I think, life expectancy was only 30. So if you got married when you were 20 and someone said, till death do us part, well, that was only 10 years. It wasn't very long. Now we're living to 70, 80s, 90s. So if you get married mid-20s, let's say, just around number 25, and you're living to 85, till death do us part takes on a whole new meaning. That's a long time. And people change. People grow apart. And I've also written another article about why the first marriage is about the kids and the second marriage is for you. Because biologically, we're actually tricked into marrying certain people, not because they're a good partner, but because they make a good mother or father. And this overrides our general attraction. And I know plenty of people who have married someone and gone, oh, I married him because I thought he'd be a good father. And then when the kids turn, you know, 14, 15, and the average length of a marriage in Australia is about 14 years, is that they wake up next to each other. The kids are off, you know, staying at a friend's house, riding their BMX. They've got a part-time job. The kids aren't at home. They're a bit more independent. And the parents look at each other and go, who are you? I don't even like you anymore. You sure you helped me bring some little people into the world, and you're a good father and you're a good provider, but you're not a good mate. You're not my best friend. And I think that's why some of you people have second marriages these days. So going back to why marriages should come with an expiry date, why should you sign up for life?
Yeah, but so many people still do it. I love that theory, though. First marriage is for kids, second marriage is for you.
Yes.
I know a lot of people listening to this podcast will really resonate with that.
You have a look at how many people have kids, and then once the kids get older, the marriage starts to fall apart. Now, for the first, I don't know, say let's say 10 or 12 years of that kid's life, you're working as a team. You know, at the beginning, you've got to change nappies and do feeding, and you're working as a team. And then a little bit older, you've got to go take the kids to school or soccer or netball. But once kids turn, I don't know what you were like. I had my first part-time job when I was about 13, 14, and a lot of kids do, and, you know, they're hanging out with friends. They don't want to hang out with mum and dad anymore. Then all of a sudden, mum and dad are stuck at home, and that commonality that they have is no longer there. You know, you stay together, biologically speaking, till the kids are old enough to survive, and then your hormones or makeup changes, and all of a sudden you don't want a co-parent. You want a mate. You want a best friend. You want someone you can enjoy the rest of your life with. So why are we signing up, walking down the aisle, signing up to a contract or death do us part, when you don't know what that person is going to be like in 40 years' time?
The answer to that question is so layered. It's societal pressure, it's tradition, it's family pressure. There's a million reasons. I really do think there's nothing wrong with normalizing the concept of a series of loving, meaningful, happy relationships than just tying yourself to one person and being miserable for decades.
You're right. It is societal pressure. And I liked what you said before about having a series of long-term serious relationships. What's wrong with that? I'd rather have that and have a long-term relationship that is meaningful, but when it runs its normal course or we grow apart, we're still friends. It hasn't been a bad thing. One, we've just grown apart, we decide to end it, remain friends, and then we go and look for someone else that's going to make us happy, you know?
Exactly.
I think 4 people who are happy is better than 2 people who are married and unhappy.
I wonder what will happen with marriage and relationships over the next 10 or 20 years, because even in our lifetime, Phil, the opinions about divorce have changed so dramatically. I remember, you know, when I was a lot younger, divorce was such a dirty word. And now every second person I know is getting divorced and it seems to be more normalized. It'll be interesting to see how marriage and divorce evolves over the next couple of decades.
I seem to think the only winners out of divorce are lawyers. People go through ridiculous amounts of money over a couch that they didn't like in the first place, just because it's, you know, because I don't want her to have the couch or vice versa. And imagine how that would keep your hubby or your wife on your toes. If you said, right, we're only getting married for 10 years, right? We're going to be loyal for 10 years. But at the end of the 10 years, these are the terms. This is how we walk out of the relationship. Imagine how much more you would be on your toes if you got to the end of the 10 years and you wanted to continue that relationship.
What do you mean they'd be on their toes?
Well, they're making more of an effort. How many people do you see that take their partner for granted and don't make an effort and don't care? And if you're getting married and you're thinking, oh, that person's never going to leave me, I can treat them like shit. Well, like, guess what? They can leave you because in 10 years' time or a couple of years' time, this marriage is null and void. If you want this person to hang around, you're going to have to make an effort. You're going to have to treat them with respect and don't take advantage of them or don't take them for granted.
I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't come down to some kind of test as you're getting towards your, you know, marriage renewal date. It should just be a natural evolution of, are we still in this? Are we still enjoying it? Do we make each other happy? Sure, let's keep going. Have we grown apart? Are we not really as happy as we were 10 years ago when we met? No, okay, let's move on and meet other people. I just don't think it should be about someone being on their toes or being tested or...
But people don't.
No one should be forced to stay in a relationship unless they want to be there, which is the whole problem with marriage, is it kind of forces people in a way to feel like they need to stay even though they're miserable.
Yes, I agree. And that happens a lot. You know, people are miserable, but I'm married, I can't get a divorce. Or I'm married and we're staying together for the kids. Or I'm married and if I get a divorce, I'll have to start again. I mean, they're all the wrong reasons to stay in a marriage.
Well, Phil, thank you so much. It's been so lovely having you on the podcast, and I'm so glad you found what you were looking for with your lovely lady.
Geez, thank you so much, Sammy, and good luck to what you're looking for. And just keep an open mind and, you know, maybe go out with those maybes, because we've actually got some mutual friends. And a few years ago, when I was single, a friend of mine walked up to you and said, hey, I've got this great friend I'd like you to meet.
Oh, who was that?
Me. And you said no.
Right. And why did I say no?
I have no idea. I don't know. I think maybe she went to my Facebook and showed a photo. I don't know. Maybe she called me a, you know, dirty man whore. I'm not quite sure. But
yeah, but if she called you a dirty man whore, Phil, that's probably why. Okay. So, I don't date dirty man whores. Oh, bless. Thank you so much, Phil. It's been lovely chatting. Say hello to your girlfriend for me.
I will. Thanks, Sammy.
This podcast is produced and presented by me, Sammy Lucas. Audio director is the wonderful Robbie Wood. You can find out more about the At Last Pillow at etiennehome.com.au. That's etiennehome.com.au. And you can find out more about me or this podcast at my website, sammylucas.com.